Okay, Psalm verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Don't you just feel the peace wash over you with those words? This week was a balm to my soul each time I do it. For me, this week changed everything in my teaching each time. For you new people, I've done this a few times. It takes a few times to get through this skull. But I love how God doesn't say, work harder, do more, strive, go past your limits to exhaustion. That's not what he says. He says, lie down in green pastures when he tells us to, and be still, and let the still waters nourish you. That's the kind of shepherd we have. Remember, God's rhythm shows in creation. The pace of life is what we're supposed to follow. And like I said, this is the verse that began to change everything for me. My week one, I shared how he definitely did the making of lying down. It wasn't my choice not to teach preschool. It was a definite making, and I felt it. When I got to verse 2, probably the second time, you know, when I did it right, I began to embrace his plan and to seek his will for this change and to look for his fingerprints in this making, which is not my normal. I'm a go-go, get-her-done, finish-what-I-start kind of girl. And by 2019, when I started this study, I had run myself into the ground. So I'm not surprised he needed to make me. And I realized he'd been trying to get my attention for a little while. 2017 and 2018 were crazy busy. Yeah, I'm still on that slide. My two youngest girls both got married 2 weeks apart. Who does that? Who does that, right? See, it wasn't just me. They chose, oh God, and I've said it to Tessa, oh, you chose well. She goes, oh no, God chose. And God chose for them. I couldn't pick better men for my daughters, husbands, and daddies for my grandbabies. Oh, I love these boys. They're mine. But it was crazy. Tessa and Marco got married in the sanctuary and had their reception right here around these round tables. Made it so special. So special. We aren't fancy people. And living on a teacher's salary, these ceremonies were so beautiful and simple, but they were do-it-yourself personal weddings. And Jim and I did the prepping. I was blessed to get to make the cakes and sew the dresses. Oh, oh, oh. That was such, oh, they aren't fancy. It's just me. You know me. But those hands-on cherished moments became so special. I even sewed a little homemade tag on the inside of their dresses that just from Mama, you know. So you get the picture. I was a little busy, a little busy. And I was still teaching preschool then. So 2018, June 12th, 2018 was Jim's accident. Weeks of, is he going to make it? And then major life adjustments. It's not the same, but oh, it's good. And oh, he's my man. Oh, and 3 months after the accident, we moved. Crazy, right? Who does that? Who does that? God does that. It was, his presence was tangible. I could taste it. I was so thin. My soul was so thin at that moment. And I can remember thinking, I just can't keep doing it. And God would just plop somebody, a stranger, right in front of me, like I couldn't not see him. And he would say, you look like you have a story. Tell me your story. And it was like, oh. And then he's Christian and he shares all, you know, and it was just so God. It was so God. And he provided everything we needed. It was definitely his plan, not mine. I wouldn't have had the strength. I wouldn't have had the thought to move. But that plan changed everything, and it brought healing and gave us just what we needed, just when we needed. Our new home isn't big, isn't fancy. We aren't fancy people. But there were no stairs, and so Jim could move around the house, move from room to room. It has a windowed sunroom in the back. It was my dear 98-year-old friend's house. I wasn't going to share that part, but Lisa's. I walked through 14 years of my best friend living next door. It was beautiful. And her passing, I was there holding her hand in the house, in my living room. God was so present, and it was so beautiful. And so not my plan. But the windowed sunroom, I'll tell you the rest of that story someday. And the sweetest little patch of green pasture out back. This is my backyard. Those are my girls doing yoga outside. And the little white fence, that was all Lisa's. The little patch and the little white fence. And the fence separates the green pasture from the rest of the yard. And I loved it so much, I added the patch on the right side up to the little shed in the back. And this became my visual for the green pasture and his provision for me. And it just changed everything. He knew I couldn't keep teaching and handle everything I needed at home and help mom and dad. And with each wagon load, the house was next door, he whispered to me that this would be our place of healing and hope. And oh, it has been. It just has been so much. Jim is stronger, back in the church choir a couple years ago. Life is good. And we have learned to embrace this slowing down and follow where he's leading. It's not punishment. I thought about that at first, shared that before. What did I do wrong? Why? You know, it wasn't. It was the loving care of my shepherd. And like Jennifer taught us, don't miss the packaging. We continue to intentionally see God's love in this. So, enough about me. Let's continue our whispered words. He makes me lie down. He, God, our shepherd, he's the he, is in charge, he has authority, and he knows best, ladies. Makes me lie down, not by force or punishment, but in love, for my own good, when I obey and follow his lead, I can rest, I can stop striving, and I can be still in him. The I is you, ladies. It's all of us. Green pastures, what are they? They are living. They bring life and nourishment, a safe place to rest, and brings peace. They provide pleasant places for us and experiences and activities that make us feel the most alive and refreshed. He nourishes my soul. Do you have a thought in mind, a place you've been to when you hear those words? Signs we might need some green pasture time. Are you stuck in a cycle of complaining, stressed, striving, tired, not sleeping? Can't get your mind to rest? God might be using these to get your attention. My daughter Tessa has a fun way of explaining it. She says, first God drops a pebble on your head, pebbles, then a brick, and then a house. I got the house, but I'm learning to look for the pebbles. You know, it's a lot easier when you can find the pebbles first. Robin Kaufman explains it well. She says, complaining weakens our faith. Yeah. Not lamenting to God, but moaning and groaning about our circumstances and about others or ourselves, that doesn't do us any good. And it kind of sounds like our scarcity mindset from last week, right? Focusing on lack, focusing on problems. That's not what we want. That's what the enemy wants. You know, he wants to steal our peace, steal our joy, take us away from our green pasture. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. When you feel that complaining, look full in his wonderful face. Come on. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In an instant, it can change. I came in this morning a little nervous that I had shuffled everything around. Jim woke up and said, "What are you doing?" "I'm printing a new one." So I'm flying out of the car, coming in. I got to turn on lights and stuff because Linda's not here. I am not a Linda. I'm a Jessica. And God was so good. And he did this on day one, and I missed it last week because I wasn't paying attention. Little birds. I hear little birds, and I'm a birder. I'm an outdoor girl. And I look in the tree coming in right out front, and there are these beautiful little bush tits all over the tree. And I don't know if you're familiar with birds, but they are so sweet. Little tiny, they're smaller than a sparrow. And they sound like raindrops. And they were all in the tree, and it was like, "Stop, look, Jessica, I'm here. I see you. It's going to be good." And it's just like wash of he is so good. Oh, my gosh, he's so good because he meets me right where I'm at. He doesn't put something fancy in front of me. He puts little birds because he knows that's what will get Jessica's attention, little birds, little squirrels, little birds, yeah, little kids. So what might your pebbles or your little birds look like for you? What might God be dropping on your head? He leads us. We don't have to know where we're going. He knows best. He knows how to get us from here to where we need to be, and the safest path to get us there, to grow us into who he wants us to be. He leads us not by force, but in love. He knows where we're going. We don't. So surrender, trust, and follow your shepherd. He leads us beside. He doesn't grab us and throw us in the middle. He leads us gently beside the still waters. So what are still waters? They're quiet, unmoving, calm, quenching the thirst in our souls that we didn't even know we had. That's still. That's not roaring, agitated, excited, roused, charged, piercing. How do those make you feel? A lot different. Sometimes circumstances stir up our still waters. Sometimes we stir them up ourselves. Or we let other people stir them up and steal our peace. Other times we let the enemy froth our calm waters. Don't let him keep poking you with that sharp stick. Don't let him rob you of your joy and peace. That thief does not belong in our water. When we focus where the shepherd leads, stillness and calm and peace are like opening windows to our soul, letting a cool, fresh breeze just blow through you like the little birds. So, Jennifer's got good stuff to share about this. I want to be Jennifer when I grow up. Oh my gosh. Doesn't she get our sheep? Get us sheep. There we go. Okay, this I found. Isn't this cute? It says, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to your shepherd. Oh. Right? God drops the coolest things in my lap when I'm working for him. So I'm guessing I'm not the only one up at 3 a.m., especially when our people are on our hearts. Don't miss the packaging. Yeah. Sometimes rest comes in ways we don't want it, don't expect it, like illness or interruptions, the blue screen of death. What keeps you from rest? What interrupts your peace? What's your red couch? Worry and trying to do it all, checklists, illness. Maybe it's time to let go and let God be God. We aren't. Pastor Jack always said with his poster, there is a God and you're not it. It's like, yes, thank you. Stop striving. Stop trying to live faster than your soul can go. Our shepherd knows best, and he will provide what we need when we need it. If not, it's not an if, but a when he makes us lay down. You will be laid down. Be ready for it, because when you look for him in it, it's a gift. You can choose bitter and see the loss and the lack, or you can look for the gift of healing, teaching, and whatever he's preparing for you next on your red couch. God rested on the seventh day, not only for the world, but for us. He created rest. Winter, in all of creation, pauses on the surface. But underneath, the roots are restoring and repairing and growing deep to find the nourishment they need. Let your roots go deep. Laying down, I've said before, is not punishment, but it can be a season of pruning. Who here raises fruit trees or has ever had a fruit tree? Okay, so you know what happens if you don't prune your tree. The branches get too heavy and they break, damaging the tree. Pruning strengthens the tree, and it can strengthen us, allowing us to produce good fruit for God. This is my Beth. For a season, Jim and I lived on a little quarter acre irrigated acre, raising four girls, little tiny small rural community in Buckeye, back when it was little. We raised four daughters, had a beautiful garden and fruit trees, and my mama helped me learn how to take care of trees, how to prune, how to thin. She would come over and do mine, and then I would go over and help her with hers. Pruning I got. It's the thinning that didn't make sense. It's when the fruit is little green, small and green, and you have to take off like every third one and throw it away. You can't do anything with them. You can't make jelly out of them or anything. And it just always seemed so counterproductive. So mom would come and say, no, you got to do more. You got to thin more. We have had the most amazing little peach tree. She's in our apple tree. She wasn't allowed to be in the peach tree. And those peaches, when we did it right, were large, rich, ripe, juicy peaches. So juicy that the kids had peach shirts they had to wear. I'm not kidding, and that's what she's wearing. Because when you bit into it, the juice would run down their chin, down their arms, and stain everything. Well, ladies, I want to be that for Jesus. I want your lives, my life. We want to be a big old juicy, large, sweet, ripe peach producing fruit for Jesus. I want that juice running down my face, my whole body. Well, if we don't let him thin us sometimes, if we're spread too thin, doing too much, striving, got to get more done, staying up late, getting up early, our fruit is going to be a little bitter, a little smaller, not near as sweet. So listen, obey, allow him to slow you down. I ran through all that already. Okay. Rest. That looks good, right? We could take some time in that. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. This is what he wants for us. He doesn't say, remember, work hard, strive, do more till you're exhausted and bitter and worn out and grouchy. So, how do you rest? How do you recharge your body and your soul? Where, what, how does a green pasture look like for you? That's what we're going to do at our table time. So, the definition of a green pasture we talked about is a place where you feel safe to rest. Experiences, places, pleasures, practices, activities that nourish your soul. It's going to be different for everybody. Some are going to be outside, some are going to be inside, some are going to be with other people, some are going to be alone. There's no wrong answers. So you've got your, on the tables, you've got two sheets at most tables, or one, that have your questions. So where or how do you green pasture? And also, what aspect of a sheep can you relate to most? And what stood out to you this week? What did you learn? So I'm going to give you a little time to huddle up in green pass in table time and talk with your sheeple, and then we'll come around and share, and you'll teach me. Okay, ladies. All right, my sheeple. We got it? Wonderful. So I've tasked Helen and Cheryl are going to come around table by table, and you can share all three questions. You can share one of them. Just share something with us so that I can learn from you too, because I got lots to learn. Okay? Helen, if you'll start at the front and do this side, and Cheryl, if you'll start at the back, and we'll just go ding-dong ping-pong while you're getting them set. So I'll share mine. Ladies, hello. So how do I green pasture? For me, I go for a walk. I pitter in the flowers. I listen to a Christian podcast, and anytime I got my hands in the dirt, I'm happy. And a sheep, boy, I need a shepherd, and I need my flock. I am not a do-it-myself kind of girl, so you guys make all the difference. Okay, Cheryl, who's got something for us back there? Come on, ladies, I heard you talking. You got something.
For our safe spaces, there was just all kinds of things, everything from being on your back porch, taking a nap, being in nature, going for a walk, and a big majority of us for the what we relate to most is distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Helen. No, don't Lisa.
So D.
Put it right up to your face.
D goes to the Center for Physical Excellence early in the morning when it's dark and floats in the saltwater pool and just thinks of Jesus just cradling her there. But that was a beautiful thing. And our table is distracted by everything. but Dee's husband brings her drink in the morning and then shuts the door and leaves her alone until she opens the door. So there's our takeaway.
Nice. I'm going to train Jim on that one.
Okay.
Naomi.
Cheryl. We came up with some green pasture stuff. We probably already said some of this. Just away from the distractions, especially the phone, outside activities, hobbies, cooking and feeding others. I thought that was great.
Nice.
And a hot tub in the backyard. And our sheep behavior, physical hunger, life's distractions like the computer, friction, and fear of what if.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
Our green pasture is the library.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've checked out one of those booths before and locked myself in there with headphones with symphony Christian music playing and to get things written. Yeah, they're free.
Pam.
Our distractions were the same as what I've heard so far. We are distracted by almost everything.
We're sheep.
We are sheep. And many of us found pleasure in hiking or working out with Christian music in the background, crafting or doing quilts, which is great. One thing that I remember that helps me is when I take care of my plants, when I am either outside or inside, I look for the insects and that are harboring in my plants, and I wash them with soap and water to try to get rid of them. And it reminds me of how I need to be washed too,
yes.
Pretty regularly,
yes.
And inspected for disease.
Yes. Nice. I wish I rested by exercising. I wish I could do that. That doesn't work for me.
Okay, we had a variety, a variety of things where we green pastured, like laying in the sand on the beach, mm-hmm. or walking, hiking, being outdoors. Those were things. And our distractions, our aspects of being like a sheep was very similar, distractions and friction, mm-hmm. especially friction in a family or with other, even people in our church or our neighbors, whatever. If there's friction, it's hard to be at peace. And I didn't get to share mine, but my green pasture is doing Zumba.
Oh, now that part I like.
Because I can totally, you can't think about anything else. You just are immersed in the music and the movement, and it's not a like peaceful lying by the river, but for me, being really active,
nice,
is what I can find a green pasture.
Nice. Okay, I take that back, exercise, because I forgot about Firm Believers.
Yes.
We have the most amazing little program at our church that's free on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:45-ish in the narthex. Linda Parrish runs it, and we do the most amazing Move Our Body to Christian music. It has become a major refreshing, soul-cleansing, brain-washing worshiping time. Thank you. Okay, Anne.
Okay, we had a lot of readers in our group, and we had people that love going in the outdoors, sitting on the porch, and that kind of thing. I'd like to comment on the second one, and mine's a little different. I had told you about trying to take care of a lamb, and my lamb was named Lamb Chop, which unfortunately was kind of what happened to her, so we won't go there. But because of that, I have a hard time relating to sheep. As in a follower, what I have decided that works for me is being a sheepdog. And the reason being is that there's a verse in the Bible about faith without works is dead. Well, I can't see myself as just a follower of Christ. I think that I need to be out doing things to help people and love people and maybe bring them into the church. And a sheepdog does that. The sheepdog follows the shepherd, helps the shepherd, rounds them up, brings them into the fold. And I think if David lived now, he would have upgraded us to sheepdogs. So anyway, that's my perspective.
Nice. Helen.
First of all, before I let the person speak, I just have to tell you that little Santi here, if you look at it, hold him up. If you look at this little cheerful face, hi, sweetheart, how are you? That could heal me right there.
Yeah.
Oh, he does. He gets me every time. So, we had a lot of different places for green pastures. We had a den in our house. We had the back porch. We had swings. We had hammocks, living room couch. So there were a lot of places where we could be early in the morning, mm-hmm. sometimes in a recliner with a cup of coffee and our Bibles. That was the big one. And I have to tell you, Miss Becky... So you can all look over at Miss Becky, because I have gone over to her house, and she has, now you all know how little Miss Becky is. She has the biggest recliner you've ever seen, and she is snuggled down in her recliner, and that's where she does all her praying, and so if you ever need prayer, just know she's going to be snuggled in her recliner, because it's a big recliner. Yeah.
I love that.
And then what aspect of being a sheep could relate to the most? Maybe some of the stubbornness, you know,
yes.
that you know, we're always talking to God. We're not listening to what God's trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. And then what stood out that was new that you learned? What do we think, girls? He makes us to lie down.
Yeah.
He doesn't ask us if we're tired or we need a
yeah.
rest. No, he makes us mm-hmm. to lie down.
That was a big one for me. Yeah. Where are you at, Cheryl?
Okay. Our table had a lot of outdoor things, especially living in the mountains. We also had some beautiful music appreciation. That's where their
yes.
happy place is, in their green pastures. Kayaking, of course. Our area is famous for kayaking, so that's a wonderful place to go. Carol had this beautiful... green pasture of sewing, just being in front of her sewing machine mm-hmm. and doing sewing. And it was really lovely because she said even when she makes mistakes, like putting pockets on the back of her shirt, she she really enjoys the process of fixing it.
Yeah.
She thinks that's okay. I'll just use the little unstitcher. I don't know what those words
seam
are.
Seam ripper.
Can't sew. Thank you, seam ripper. And she just starts again. And I think that's really lovely.
We could use a little of that in our
yeah,
life.
Yeah, we could use
right?
that. That would be really yeah. lovely. And then, of course, we thought distractions are a little part of our life that are a problem, like sheep. And then friction with family, that's hard to rest.
Yeah.
My peaceful place, though, my thing, I love being underwater. I know it sounds weird, but ever since I was a little girl growing up at the beach, I like to be under the water. And I would go through the waves, dive through them, and try to stay at the bottom as long as I could, and then started, scuba diving and things like that. But underwater, completely covered by water.
There's
is
no
my
distractions
happy place.
There. Yeah. Nice. Nice. Where are we at, Kellen?
I'm gonna make
Lacey.
Sure I'm standing up because a lot of you, when you talk, I can't see who's talking, and I like to see. So I'm over here. I'm Rachel, and these lovely ladies, we talked about our green pasture being like hikes and walks, especially early morning when it's 19 degrees at Lynx Lake. I wish I could do that. Lakes, cooking, reading, naps, art, and creating with copper and silver, which amazes me. And then... So many of y'all said ones that I hadn't even thought of. I think reading. We didn't share that here, but somebody said reading, and we're
yeah.
like, of course. It's like an escape, you know, a healthy escape. we spent a lot of time talking about our green pastures, but just briefly talked about what parts of the sheep we relate to. And so we had doing stupid things.
I like that.
Going our own way.
Yeah.
Won't go into details because some of the details got gross, but we'll spare that
not
person
us.
The embarrassment. So that's it.
Nice. Good.
Thank you.
I love this. This part was like, is it going to work or is it going to totally flop? And it just, you guys, when you're all talking and laughing and sharing and growing, it's magic. Thank you so, so much, my big, huge first, second hour class. Where are we at? Kathy.
So our table, Green Pastures, duplicated a lot of what's already been talked about. But we did have one individual that loves to puzzle. And so they find their green pasture in puzzling, and they even have a 6,000-piece puzzle.
Oh, so my gosh.
I thought that was really interesting. But, you know, the sitting on the glider, hiking, camping, all of that, which everyone has already mentioned, just being outdoors because of Prescott. And then for how we related to the sheep, the one that came out most in our table was fear. You know, we all have grandchildren and children, and, you know, there's always this fear, especially because of the world that we live in today, mm-hmm. of, you know, will they be safe, you know? And the things that we never feared when we were little, we have to fear now for our children.
Yeah.
And so that seemed to be the resounding aspect
it's
being
valid.
A sheep.
It's totally valid, but will it add 1 hour to their lives or yours?
No, but it happens, and you just have to give it up.
Yeah.
And just pray that they'll be safe.
Exactly. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the shepherd.
Yeah.
Good.
It's not, none of the sheep things are valid. But
no.
But they all happen.
Yes. Yes. There. David knew what he was doing when he called us a sheep. Yeah.
And then the thing for what people the aspect of settling down. Mm-hmm. You know, that was something that, thinking of it in that respect versus mm-hmm. making, but thinking of it about settling.
We don't settle ourselves down well.
No. So we need the Lord to help us.
Yes. Good. Good. Helen, this is working.
Okay. I don't know how I got this.
Come
but
on,
anyway,
Lori.
I guess I talk a lot. Okay. I'll hold it. Our green pasture. Well, we all had outdoor was a lot, whether it be biking, skiing, just enjoying the mountains. A lot of us spend a lot of time with our coffee. Thank you, Lord, for our coffee. I realize how important that was today.
Week 5.
But sitting in bed and just having our time to talk and cry and laugh and just be with the Lord wherever you are. Mm-hmm. We didn't get through all the questions.
That's okay.
But what aspect of being a sheep can you relate to most? I have to share a story I told everybody about. My granddaughter was over last night, and she's 6 years old, and she goes to Trinity Christian School. And I asked her what she learned that day, and she told me she was learning about sheep and a shepherd, which I thought was interesting.
Six.
And I said, well, what have you learned? What about sheep? And she got kind of quiet, and she looked at me, and I just started laughing because I knew what she was going to say. And she goes, they're dumb. And she goes, and grand, I don't think I'm dumb. But I did share with her, as we get older, we realize we're dumber than we think. So.
Oh, my gosh, 6 years old. She's so far ahead of us. Cheryl. Casey.
We did talk about some of the things that were already covered, but music seemed to come up a couple times, and a lot of people feel really blessed to have Christian music where they can feel close to God, and so that was one that I thought was really, really cool. A lot of crafting, a lot of walking, hiking, exercising, those kinds of things like were mentioned before. As part as being an aspect, like sheep, I think... needing guidance. We know that we need the guidance. We need God. We need him to show us what we need to do. We need to talk to him. We need to have conversations with him. Another person had said that they have conversations with him constantly.
Yeah.
And we need to slow down. And I think that was it.
Nice.
Anything else?
Good. Helen. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Cindy. And we have a story that we want one of the people here to tell, but also mostly everything has been said that we talked about, except the one thing I didn't hear was we had a conversation about how much harder our lives become as we get older, and everything we like to do is harder, and so it's more and more important for us to be able to say, you know, give it over to God, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, take the wheel. And it's hard for us because most of us are Martha-type women, and we like to do it all. And that's been really hard for some of us to realize we can't keep doing that, and we need to scale back our lives and let God show us the next steps that we take.
Good morning. I'm Susan, and I shared at the table one of the things that I concern myself with or realize my shepherd is my steadfast. Yeah. And that is the Isaiah verse, that you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. I went back to sharing at the table a time when both my husband and I both had cancer, and we were both being treated, but my husband was dying of it. And Robin shared something with me after one of my surgeries. She came to my bedside, and she says, "Mommy, you need a steadfast frame." And I didn't know what she was talking about. And she started, and I said, "I have a real old frame that you and Joey gave me in the garage. Go out and get it." She brings the frame in, and she explained to me, if we put this frame over our life and look at the frame, and I thought, you know, Alpha and Omega, you know, God was and is and forever is my frame. And I decided that sounded good. The frame around me is God. And I'm inside all my daily things going through that frame at any part of my life. And that made a lot of sense. And Robin says, I said, "Oh gosh, I love that, Robin." I said, "Where should I put it?" And I thought, we should put it on the ceiling so I remember all the time. But that wasn't possible. So we put it over my head. And I realized that, you know, God is my steadfast. So to this day, I have my frame with nothing in it on my wall, constantly reminding me of my steadfast. And that's my shepherd. Ah. And I've shared it with my grandkids and different ones, and
that's beautiful.
It was just something that was wonderful for me, and Robin sharing it with me. I really should walk around with it on my head.
Oh, Sue, thank you. That is beautiful. She is Robin Kaufman's mama, if you didn't know that. Yeah, so that came from a good spot.
Okay. So our table even liked the question that the green pasture isn't necessarily the place always, but what you're doing in that place. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you know, you couldn't always find a green place, especially in winter, it was very brown. But it's more what you're doing. And gardening was mentioned, and walking, and praying, and just, you know, what you're doing. Keep yourself calm, okay, and quiet. But some of us liked not always being quiet, but some of us like to have noise around us. So it was a real mix at our table, whether we liked it to be quiet or whether we liked to have noise around us, that was both fine with us in our green pasture. And then the aspect of the sheep, the first one that was talked about was related to fear, because when you're vulnerable in a place or in what you're living with, that can lead to fear. And then another one we talked about was distraction. We are just living in a place where there's just distraction all around us. So that was a difficulty for many of us. And that friction thing, when things just aren't right, that is, especially in our family, if things are not right with our family or friends, that is just, that friction thing is not a good calming practice at all. And then the last question, what we're supposed to be kind of finding this new, is the Lord can help us to slow down. we don't have to live so fast.
Yeah.
And what was the one that you said about don't go faster
don't
than
your... Don't live faster than your soul can go.
Yeah, don't live faster than your soul can go. And we had another lady at our table that said, never drive faster than your angel can fly. So it's that the whole concept of just slow down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let Jesus be your focus, I think.
Nice. Nice.
Okay. We pretty much covered the same things as a lot of people. We talked about fear of the what ifs, of aging. The fears you get when you watch the news, you're exposed, fear of the future. But it was interesting, not only everybody here, but our table, emphasized one of the ways to find their comfort and their peace is hiking, watching birds, quiet areas, coffee, relaxing. And the thing that hit me when we were doing it was that nature, why is everyone thinking of nature? And I remember nature makes us look outside of ourselves mm-hmm. at the magnitude of God's creation. Mm-hmm. And it brings calm and perspective to us.
Yeah. I heard it said once that creation, nature, is God's first missionary.
Alrighty. So many of the questions we have, our answers were the same. But one of the things mentioned in the how... do you green pasture? It was wow. And that's a tribute to you. Yes.
All of us. It takes an army.
It does. And time in the bathtub, time with your pets, and so on. Yeah. What aspect of the sheep do you relate to most? The importance of listening to him and to rely on the shepherd to take care of us. And then we need a flock.
Yes.
Those were one of those.
Yes, I don't want to do this life alone.
Nope. And what stood out is taking the time to recognize the pebbles before they come, the houses falling on you. Yes, the importance of Christian music. Mm-hmm. The importance of the fear of what if, how it takes over our lives, and the importance of feeling safe. But I do love don't drive faster than your angel can fly.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
I'm Jamie. It was a little difficult for us to hear, being here in the center, getting noise from both sides. But what we could hear was basically a lot of what everybody said. Patty and I had a great conversation about our green pasture because we're quilters. And this is where we go for our quiet time and to mix with God and not only to read our Bible, but to create things. And we've both done community service where we give back to the community, which fills our soul. Our biggest fear between Patty and I, although the group had a lot of discussion about distraction, ours is fear. You step away from a project or something for a little while, and you forget how to do it. You know, you've been ill, you have something that you can't grasp, you forget how to run your sewing machine, you forget the colors you were working on in the project. And this is a tragedy as we get old. We'd like to think we can remember everything, but we don't. And what stood out the most that we learned is we need each other. We need groups of ladies, whether it be your quilt guild, whether it be your hobby, whether it be your reading friends. We need each other to communicate and keep going forward with strength with the Lord. So with that, I'll pass it on. Thanks, Helen.
Nice. Remember, ladies, when you're afraid, we know our shepherd is there. He is right here next to you, arm's length away, always. He is already in the future of what you're fearing. He's already there. He knows it's going to happen. None of this is a surprise to him, and he is there preparing the way to get you from here to there safely. You are safe with your shepherd.
Okay. So most everything has been said already. We did talk about the fact that several members at our table have trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. They just can't get to sleep. And I think the aspect of being a sheep in that scenario is that our minds are just too active and worried about so many things. And one thing that came up at our table was conflict, and especially conflict within our families, amongst our children. You know, that really hits home for mothers, you know. And so we talked about that as a distraction and a detrimental aspect of being able to rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're vulnerable to our enemy. Mm-hmm. And we need the shepherd to protect us. And because we don't have any defense mechanisms against our enemy. So
only the sword.
Right. And someone did mention, and of course a lot of people mentioned being outdoors as being their time that they could rest and different aspects of nature like everybody else did. And then someone in our group said, you know, reading scripture first thing in the morning is a restful time for her.
Beautiful, beautiful. When you can't sleep, talk to your shepherd. I was supposed to have that on sleep, on sheepy anyway. Recite Psalm 23 when you can't sleep. I'll go through and try to remember all the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I never make it through the whole thing, so that helps. Thank you so, so much. This just feeds me more than you know. More than you know that you're willing to share and do this part. We'll wrap up. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. That's steadfast. That word has come up several times this week. To me, that's steadfast. He is here. He is walking us through. He is in our future. And we are just supposed to trust, keep our eyes on him, and keep stepping. Because he knows where we're supposed to go. He knows where we need to go. He knows how fast we need to get there or how much we need to slow down. So we're going to trust him in the pruning, in the lying down. And we're going to look for our green pastures and our still waters this week and let him just nourish your soul. We are learning our words. We are understanding and growing. And I pray that you are being drawn into God's word. It is a powerful, powerful thing to fight fear, to fight restlessness, to quiet our minds. You know, the armor of God, that is our weapon, our only weapon. And sheep don't have it, but we do. So use your sword of the Spirit. Use your sword. Going deeper for next week. Next week, we're going to talk about restoring. Oh, it's a good word. So I want you to think about what restore means to you. And we're going to be led down paths. So think about a path that God might have led you down. And these are the scripture verses that Jennifer will use and reference next week. They're in your handout, in your workbook. But that's where we're going to go. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each and every woman here. Thank you for making us lie down. Thank you for settling us down. Help us to see you and your fingerprints when you do. Grow us, give us rest, give us peace. Grow us into the women you would have us be. And begin the restoration of us that we will journey down next week. Watch over us, protect us, keep us safe till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies.